New heading, the speed of trust. Now, what is communication like when there is high trust? It's easy. It's effortless. It's instantaneous. What about when there's high trust and you make mistakes? They hardly matter. People know you. Don't worry about it. I understand. Forget it. I know what you mean. I know you. No technology ever devised can do that. Perhaps in a sense, this is why the heart is more important than the brain. Someone may be brain dead, but if their heart is still pumping, they live on. When your heart is dead, you're dead. As my son Stephen says, there is nothing as fast as the speed of trust. It's faster than anything you can think about. It's faster than the internet, for when trust is present, mistakes are forgiven and forgotten. Trust is the glue of life. It's the glue that holds organizations, cultures, and relationships together. Ironically, it comes from the speed of going slow. With people, fast is slow, and slow is fast. Several years ago, I was visiting with a friend who had recently completed a major business project. I was well acquainted with his work and congratulated him on the tremendous positive impact it was having on the lives of thousands. I asked him what he had learned. He said, "You know, Stephen, I'm sure I will look back on this 2-year project as one of the most important contributions of my life." Then pausing, he slightly smiled and with a deep feeling continued, "But my real learning was that without a unified close relationship with my wife, it all means nothing." "Really?" I replied. Sensing my interest, he then opened up and shared the following experience. "When I was first asked to take leadership of this project, I was thrilled with the opportunity. My wife and children were supportive, so I threw myself into it wholeheartedly. I felt a great weight of responsibility and was driven and energized with a sense of purpose. In the second year of the project, I worked literally day and night. The importance of the work consumed me. I felt I was doing well in staying involved in the kids' lives, including ball games and dance recitals. I usually had dinner each evening with the family. I thought I was managing pretty well. The last 6 months were the most intense, and it was during this time that I noticed how often my wife was becoming frustrated with me, usually over the smallest things, at least they seemed that way to me. I became increasingly irritated at her lack of understanding and support of the work I was doing, especially at such a critical time. Communication became more strained, even over minor issues. When the project was finally completed, she didn't even want to go to the celebration dinner. She went but obviously didn't enjoy herself. I knew we had to talk. I mean, really talk. So we did, and the floodgates opened. She started to share what it was like to be alone all of this time. Even when I was home, she felt I was somewhere else. Because our tradition of having weekly dates became much less frequent, and because I usually stayed up long after she retired each night, we didn't talk and share like we used to. And she felt more and more isolated, unappreciated, and disconnected. I wasn't communicating much of anything. My nearly single-minded focus on my work and other commitments became a constant reminder of where my thoughts and feelings were focused. She reminded me that I had forgotten her birthday until the day was half over. And it wasn't the forgetting that was so bad, as it was a symbol of what the whole year had seemed like. When I asked her why she hadn't opened up and shared her concerns earlier, she said she didn't want to upset me and distract me from the project. I looked in her eyes and saw deep pain and loneliness. I felt horrible. I was amazed and embarrassed that I had been so clueless. Her openness about her loneliness helped me realize how empty I had been for so long. We had both become less effective, both personally and together. I apologized and reassured her that there was no person or thing on earth more important to me than her. But my words didn't seem to get through. I realized that too many other things had communicated something different for too long. My apology and commitment to reprioritize my life helped, but it didn't make things all better overnight. It took days and weeks and months of consistent effort, talking, sharing, being there, making and keeping promises, putting aside work at the end of the day for the family, and apologizing and regrouping when I got a little off track. Before the full feeling of trust and emotional connection was restored and exceeded even what it had been before. Close quote. Since I visited with my friend, he has completed two more multi-year projects just as demanding and significant as the first. Yet his relationship with his wife has grown stronger through each one. His painful first experience and his increased understanding of and commitment to his wife has brought lasting change. Looking back on the contrast in his experiences, he recently shared these additional insights with me. This is the way he put it. My real learning was that you could be deeply committed to a marriage, love your spouse, live in fidelity and loyalty toward each other, be committed to raising your children, and still have your relationship and trust deteriorate. You don't have to speak harsh, unkind words or be disrespectful to hurt someone. With one who is very close to you, all it takes is neglecting the heart, mind, and spirit. Relationships and trust do not remain constant. They are maintained and deepened only as you actively nurture and build them with regular acts of kindness, consideration, appreciation, and service. I learned that both the quality of our marriage and my own happiness had very little to do with what she was doing for me, and everything to do with what I was trying to do every day to foster her happiness, to share her burdens, and to partner with her in the things we care most about. I've learned that unity in my relationship with my wife is one of the greatest enabling sources of power of my life, not only in our most significant work in the family and community together, but in every area of my life, including professionally. It creates a well of strength, peace, joy, belonging, and energy that fuels my best work, creativity, and drive to contribute. Finally, I'm learning that strong relationships require real effort and sacrifice. They require putting someone else's well-being, growth, and happiness before your own. And oh, how it's worth it, for such effort is the door to our own happiness. What would we do without the pull of such relationships that help us get outside ourselves and become equal to our potential? Close quote.